Today, we're beginning Daf Tes Omed Aleph, four lines from the top. Last time, we had discussed the power that the community has to impose different rules and regulations. On the side of our Gemara, under the topic heading, Nosei, says, Ein anshei ho'ir rashoim lasos takonos b'neihem b'mokom shish odom choshu. The commoners of the city cannot impose their own rules in a situation where there's a great man amongst them, where there's a Rav, Talmud Chacham, a great Talmud Chacham. They would have to consult with him, or he would be the one to impose the rules, not the commoners. And as you see in the markings, you see a long marking, a long maisa. Hano tabochi, de avdi inyona bahadi adadi. There were tabochi of people involved with the sales of meat, butchers. They slaughter the meat and they cut it up and distribute and sell it to the public. They made inyona means that they made a tanai amongst themselves. And what's the tanai? And we have it in singular quotation marks. This is to encapsulate the content of the tanai. The chol man, the ovid, the yoima, the chavrei, nikruuo the mashche. Apparently, they took turns selling. That Mr. A would sell on Sundays, Mr. B would sell on Mondays, Mr. C on Tuesdays, and down the road like that. So, if Mr. A is designed to sell on Sundays, we wouldn't want to see him selling on Tuesday because he's selling on someone else's day. So they made a rule that if one sells on someone else's day, they'll take the skins. Skins are valuable. It's the value, the skins of the animals they slaughtered. They'll take the skins and shred them. That's nikruo le mashche. Mashche is the leather, the skins. That's the penalty, right? Ozal chad minayu, ovad b'yoma de chavrei. If one went ahead, sold on the other day's day, the other friend's day. Koro the mashche, and well, they got together and tore up his leather. Also the kamei de rava. Chayvinu rava l'shlume. The case came before rava, and rava told them, "You ruined his skins." He said, "You have to pay, compensate him." Esve Rav Yemar Bar Shalmi Yola Rava, and Rav Yemar raised as an objection. Tanaic source Ulahasiya Al Kitzosam. Now, where does this source come from? This is a quote: by using your arrows, you don't have to waste valuable Torah learning time looking for something. Just skim Chesamid Beis, where the parallel arrow exists. There's an arrow that indicates Tesamid Aleph. And what do you see there? You see on that line that the community has a right, Lahasiya al Kitzosan. They have a right to impose rules. So here we have the community butchers got together and imposed a rule amongst themselves. It's legitimate. So why does Rava force them when the rule was violated? Why does he and they took action? Why is he mechayev them to compensate? They had a right to tear up the skins. Lo ahadir le rova. Rova did not respond. Omar Rav Papa shapir over the lo ahadir le midi. It's a good thing that Rava didn't respond. Why is that? Hani mili, the source that they quoted, that was quoted, Rav Yemar quoted, that they have a right to impose penalties. Hecho de lekodem choshuv. That's when there is no important individual, no Talmud Chacham present. Avol hecho dika odom choshuv, lav kol keminayu demasnu. When there is a odom choshuv present, it's not within their power to impose these kind of rules and fines without the odom choshuv's involvement. On the side of our Gemara, under the topic heading, the Nosei, Somchim al gabai tztoka behekdish, velo orchim itom cheshbon. We rely on the gaboyim that are in charge of collecting money for tztoka and collecting money for Beis Hamikdash, and we don't insist on them rendering an accounting. Ein mechashvin b'tzdoka im gaboi tzdoka v'lo behegdish im hagizborin. Right? We don't impose upon them the need to render an accounting, the gabai tzdoka, nor the people in charge of the temple funds. V'ahavi she'ein raya l'davar, zecher l'davar. Even though we don't have a formal proof to this, there's a reference to it. We don't have formal proof in the context of the gabai tzdoka. We don't have formal proof regarding gaboi tzdoka. Shenemar, the pasuk says, "V'lo yechashvu es ho'anoshim asher yitnu es akesef al yodom loseis loisei hamlocha ki be'emuno heimosim." We don't make a cheshbon with the people that are involved with the Beis Hamikdash funds, because we assume that they're doing it be'emuna. Amar Belozer, afal pi sheyesh lo lodom gizbor ne'eman basach beso yotzur v'yimne. Even though a person might have in his house a trustworthy fellow in charge of the house funds, nevertheless, when you give him money, you ought to count up the money and tie it up in little sacks before you give it to him. Shenemar, in the same perek that was just quoted above, says there, Vayotsuru Vayimnu. They tied up the money and counted it. On the side of our Gemara, we have a Nosei and Mivneh. The diamonds that we're about to see refer to a machlokas between Rav Huna, Rav Yehuda, in Bodkim Hanizkokim Lemozon Luxus. Do we check the needy ones, the people who come for a handout, do we check them if they come for food or if they come for clothing? As you can see in our markings, we've put diamonds around Rav Huna and we've underlined the main point. In Rav Huna's opinion, you could see is Bokin Lemozos Me Bokin Luxus. Rav Yehuda, as your eye skims down, you could see he says quite the opposite. He says Bokin Luxus V'ein Bokin Lemozonos. Omar Rav Huna, Bokin Lemozonos, we check him out to make sure he's not a conniver, a faker, a thief. That is if he's coming for mezonos. However, the ain bokim l'ksus, but if he's coming for clothing, we give it to him without question. E boy is same akro, V boy is same asvara. I can provide either a verse or a point of logic. And once again, the Gemara, in presenting the sources, it goes in reverse order. He gives you first the point of logic. E boy is same asvara. Hai komivazi. Vahai lo komivazi. The person coming for clothing, he's coming, he doesn't have clothing, he's coming unclothed. He's standing there in a state of disparagement, of bizoyon. So give to him immediately to solve his experience of bizoyon. The person may be hungry, but he's not experiencing a sense of shame. Hey boy, same across. Hello. Poros lo ra'ev lachmecha. Beshin ksiv. Porosh. That pasuk is written poros. It's written with a shin. Poros would mean to give out your bread to the impoverished. However, it could have written that with a samach, but it chose to wrote it with a sin. But we call that a shin smalit because the dot goes on the left side of the letter. But the shin has the fact that they chose the shin letter. You can read the word also as parosh, which means explain or investigate. So the Gemara, it says ksiv parosh v'hodar havlei, first investigate. Like we use the expression meforshim or pirushim to explain things. First investigate and then give. V'hasam ksiv, but with regard to clothing, it says kisireh arom. The kisiso. Kisire? Lalter. As soon as you see him, give him the clothing. For Rav Yehuda Amar, Bokim Luxus, Vein Bokim Mazonos. Iboy Seimo Svora, Viboy Seimo Kro. Iboy Seimo Svora. Hai Kometsa'arole. The hungry one is experiencing pain. Vahai Lo Kometsa'arole. The person is unclothed, he's not experiencing pain though. So with the fee Rav Yehuda, we can take time before we give him clothing. Iboy seimakro
Hochoksiv, halo pros lach lo roev lach mecha. Pros la'alter u'kidikarinon.
Not like we said above to look at the word the way it's spelled, but look at the word the way it's read. How is the word read? It's read paros, like break the bread, cut the bread, give out the bread immediately. Not as we read before, parosh, explain and investigate. V'hasam ksiv, ki sireh aron v'kisiso. How was that understood? K'sheyira'eh l'cha. When it appears to you, not when you see him unclothed, but when it appears to you that he's not a phony, then give to him. That's because you checked him out. Tanya kavoseh de Rav Yehuda, that for clothing matters, we check, but not for food. Omar, kasuni, person comes along and says, clothe me, bodkin acharov. Now who said bodkin for ksus? So you can see, even though we could take the Gemara's word for it just now, but if you could skim back a few lines, and you see Rav Yehuda's name, and there we had underlined bodkin l'ksus. Continuing in the source, parnesuni, if he says, give me food, ein bodkin. Tanan hosam. We have a Tanaic source, and that's indicated in a frame. On the side of our Gemara, we have a topic here. Nosei. One, kamut mazon shenosnim l'oni, the amount of mazon that you give to the oni. Number two, dino shel oni hamachzir al apsochem. What's the din regarding an oni that knows how to beg on his own? As opposed to my seeking out aniyim and giving them something, there's also the people who know how to shake their hand and extend their hand and say, give me. Tanan hasam. Ein pochasim la'ani ho'ivir mimokom la'mokom. We don't give to an ani who's traveling from place to place less than mikikar bepunyon me'arba so'in besela. We don't give him less than a kikar, a loaf, that costs a punyon. And that's when the going rate of flour is 4 saw for a sela. So if you know how much, you know that 4 saw can be purchased by a sela, and you know the coin relationship between a sela and a punyon, you will conclude that the size of the loaf comes out to be 1/4 of a kav. Rashi goes through the calculation. We're not going to dwell on that now, but that's the reason it's given here. It's given here in a formula form, and you have to know the coin punyon sela relationship. And as I said, Rashi expounds on that. Continuing in the source, lon nosnim lo parnosas lina. At this point, there's a section that's in brackets. That's because it's a Gemara interruption of the source that's going to explain the expression parnosas lina. But as far as the source is concerned, it would continue after the brackets shavas nosnim lo mozon sholosh seudos. We'll go over this. We just said that if he sleeps over, then nosin lo parnosas lina, we give the oni his sleeping needs. My parnosas lina, omar apopa, puria ube sadya, a bed and a pillow. Shovas, if he came for Shabbos, nosnim lo mozon sholosh seudos, we provide the 3 meals of Shabbos for him. Tana, another source, im hoya machzir al apsochem ein nizkokin lo. If, however, you're dealing with a person who is taking the initiative of collecting funds for himself, not like we've discussed till now where you have a gabait stoka, he collects funds and then seeks out the aniyim to distribute to them. This is a new point. This is a person who's begging, asking for handouts. In such a case, ein, it says here, ein nizkokin lo. What does that mean? So we'll take a look at Rashi. Ein nizkokin lo. It says, loseis mos min akupa. We don't take from the public funds that were collected, the kupa funds, and pay him from that. Achrei shalomad lachzor al psochim, after he's learned to fend for himself, he's going to every individual in town, isn't there? The community chest, he's going to individuals. So dayo b'kach, that's enough. He'll get from whatever he gets from individuals, he gets.
We're not going to take from public funds to give to him. Continuing in the Gemara, Hahu Anya was a poor man, Davi Machzir al Apsochim, that he was begging. To also the comedy Rav Papa, Lo Mizdakik Le, Rav Papa gave him nothing, not even food. Amalei Rav Samo braid Rav Yevel Rav Papa, Imor Lo Mizdakik Le, Inishachrino Lo Mizdakik Le, Le Mus, if you don't support him, you don't give him something, everyone will take their cues from you. No one will give him. What, should the guy die? Omar Le, Vahotanya. So wait, you're asking me to give to him? But it says, Im Hoya Oni Hamachzir Al Apsochim, Ein Nizkakin Lo. And you can see we emphasized here with the dash line, Ein Nizkakin Lo. I don't have to give him. Omar Le. So Rav Samo said back to Rav Papa, In Niskokin Lo, the Matona Maruba. We don't give him a significant amount. That's what was referred to and says that only a Master Absochim, we're not Nizkok, we don't have to deal with him, we don't have to pay him a large amount. Avo Niskokin Lo, the Matona Muetis, but something, give him some little amount. And in this case, it was important for Rav Papa to give him some little amounts. At least other people also give him some little amount, and he'd be able to sustain himself that way. The next marking is explained on the side. There Beis Memrosh Rav Asi Binyan Stoka. Two comments of Rav Asi regarding Stoka. Amar Rav Asi, the Olam Al Yimna Odom Atzmo Milose Shlishis HaShekel B'Shona. Person asks, like, how much Stoka do I have to give? So there's an annual amount that a person should make sure he doesn't give less than a third of a shekel per year. Shenemar. There's a pasuk says ve'hemadnu aleinu mitzvois lo seis aleinu shlishis hashekel bashana la'avoidas beis elokeinu. I was a little bit bothered. It's true that the pasuk says, it says here shlishis hashekel, but the pasuk wasn't referring to tzedakah, it's referring to beis hamikdash. And I was happy to find that the Tosfos addresses this at the very bottom of the omid. Shneimar ve'emadnu aleinu mitzvois. Even though this pasuk is a pasuk regarding the Beis Hamikdash, the Hainu Bedek Habayis. Bedek is an expression used for temple funds. Kol shekein stoka. If for temple funds it's a third of a shekel, then all the more so for stoka. Gemara continues. V'yomar Rav Asi. Shkulot stoka k'neged kol hamitzvos. Shneimar ve'emadnu aleinu mitzvos. Mitzvah ein ksiv kan elo mitzvos. Mitzvah in the singular is not written over here. Mitzvos in the plural is written. So we see that the significance of stoka is comparable to all of the other mitzvahs. The triangles that we are about to see are, they feature three comments of Rebbe Lozer regarding stoka. And as your eye scans down, you will notice triangles around Rebbe Lozer. Two over here, and it will require flexing our muscles and turning the page to find number three, and it's quite a bit way down the page. But with your skimming abilities being honed day by day, you can notice it quickly. In the Gemara, before we look at the Gemara has a simen. It says Godol, Mikdash, and Moshe. These are key words that refer to the comments that will be made by Rebbe Lozer. Omer Rebbe Lozer, Godol hameaseh yoseh min haoseh. Greater is the one that causes others. That's measeh, causes others to do mitzvahs. In our case, to do tzedakah, than the one who merely gives the tzedakah. Shenemar, v'hoya ma'asei atzdoko shalom v'avodas atzdoko ashkid v'vetach ad olam. Zocha, if a person is zocha to a good mazel, halo pros l'ro'ev lachmecha, he will be zocha to give his tzdoka to a true ro'ev, to someone who really needs it. Lo zocha, if however he doesn't merit a mazel tov, he might give his money but it won't go to the right place. The pasuk continues, Va'aniyim merudim tovi bayis. Rashi says on Aniyim merudim, Zu memsheles romi, shetzoekes tamid, avu havu sha'anu tzrichim. It'll end up falling, the money that you could have given to tzedakah had you been zechah to a mazel tov would end up being taken by the goyim, by the secular authorities. Amalu Rava lebnei mechuza, v'matusa minaychu. He pleads with them, please. Osu bahadi adadi. Sort of a cause. Each one should motivate the next one to give tzedakah. Ki hechi delevi lechu shalmu b'malchusa, so that we should have shalom with the malchus. So things should go smoothly, as we just saw that if they're not zecha to a mazel tov, the government's going to come and extricate by force the monies. The Omer Rebbe Lozer, Bizman Shebeis Amidush Kayim, Odom Shokel Shiklo, Miskapelo, a person would give his Machsis HaShekel, and giving the Machsis HaShekel would serve as a Kapora. Achshov Shebeis Amidush Kayim, Enoisim Stoka, Imoisim Stoka, Mutav, if a person does Stoka, that replaces the Machsis HaShekel in its Kapora capacity, its atonement capacity. The Imlav, if he doesn't give Stoka, Boyin Oivde Kechovim Venotlin Bizroa. The goyim will come and take it by force. The afalpikain nechshav lahem litzdaka, and even so, if for whatever reason they weren't successful in getting their act together and giving tzedaka, and the goyim came to collect the tzedaka, it's still considered as if they performed tzedaka. Shenemar v'nogsayach tzedaka. The nogsayach, those that are the pressure appliers, those that apply pressure, referring to the goyim here, it's considered tzedaka. Omar Rava, Hai Milsa, Ishtoi Li. There's a phrase marking, be careful here, and this is not a name, but it's a reference to somebody. Rava says that the following was Ishtoi Li, was told to me by Ulo Mishagesh Urchase Diime. Supposed to read that together as a phrase. By the Ulo, not to be confused with the Rav with that name, Ulo is an Oleil, like a nursing one, a youngster. There are different mephoshim that deal with the word ula. I found the Rashi uses the word oleil, the Rabbeinu Gershom uses the word elem, youth, but there's someone being referred to here as the youth, or the suckling one, that distorted the ways of his mother. The significance of this unusual, rather disparaging title will be explained later in the Gemara. So, the Rava reports to us that this character, Ula Meshagesh Urchas Dime, told me, Mishmei de Rebbe Lozer, Mai Dichtiv, Fayilbash Tztoka Keshir Yon. Lomar loch, ma shiryon ze. Shiryon is a coat of mail. People who have seen pictures of the knights of old wore this type of armory, if you will, the clothing, metal clothing that's made of scales, like metal scales that form the clothing. Shiryon. The analogy between stok and shirin is as follows: Lomar loch ma shiryon ze kol klipa v'klipa mitzdarefes l'shiryon godol. Each metal scale, if you will, when connected with one another, it forms a full garment. Aft stoka kol puta puta mitzdarefes l'cheshbon godol. Every little bit that you give to stoka eventually accumulates to form a major cheshbon, major account. Abchanino Omar Mehocha. The same idea, he says, is alluded to in a different pasuk.
Uchebeged idim kol tzikoseno. Ma beged zeh, just like a piece of woven clothing, kol nima v'nima mitzarefes lebeged gadol, each strand forms a large, a complete garment. Ab stoka kol pruto pruto mitzarefes lecheshbon gadol. So too tzedaka, each coin that you give amasses to form a major account. We are about to see one of the major benefits of the marking system as illustrated by the Shas Ozer edition, the brackets. The brackets tell us that what we're about to see is a self-contained point. Often it gets off the topic. In this case, it's going to simply skirt the topic because we're going to be referring back to that unusual name but have nothing to do with the topic of tzedakah. And afterwards, the Gemara will get back to talk about matters of tzedakah. There's an asterisk that you see at the beginning of this bracketed section, and that refers to the right-hand side of the page in this case. It says as follows, Besocha sograim, a Gemara mevi'o ha-sipur. In these brackets, the Gemara will bring the story. Lomo hu nikra ulu mishagish ruchos de'ime. Why was he called by that disparaging title? Acharei ha-sogram, Gemara chozeres ledaber al malas ha-tzedakah. But afterwards, we're going to go back to talk about the praiseworthiness of tzedakah. With that having been said, we can go straight through the bracketed section. There are other Gemaras that we find in this Shas Ozer pre-marked Gemara edition, where it's necessary in the reading to skip the bracketed section in order to preserve the logical flow. Here, we're not in the middle of a continuous reading per se, but we are in the middle of a general topic. That which is contained in the brackets is a bit of a side point. But that having been said, we'll go through the Gemara straight. Amai korule, why was Rav Sheshes, we didn't mention his name before, but the reference Rav Sheshes is based on the Rashi commentary. There are other Rishonim explained differently. But for right now, we're going to refer to Ula Meshagesh Urchasadime by Rav Sheshes. More asks, why was he called Ula Meshagesh Urchasadime? Answer. The Bo Amine Rav Achdevuye by Amim Rav Sheshes. Once upon a time, Rav Achdevuye asked of Rav Sheshes the following. Minayim l'mitzora b'mei sipuro shemetamei odo. Mitzora, without getting into the many, many details of mitzora, but there's one form of mitzora called a mitzora muchlat. He's considered a definitive mitzora, whereby he had a tzoras developed on his body, and he has to stay out of the camp, so to speak. He's out of town, in isolation, until a kohen comes along, and the kohen looks at his situation and says he's now about to depart from that. He's about to achieve tahara. At the end of this muchlat period, there's a process that he brings. That the Mitzora brings birds, and one is shechted, the other one is sent free, and he then waits another 7 days. And those 7 days, after which, on the eighth day, he brings his formal korbanos. The birds that I just made reference to are not a korban, it's a procedure that's necessary for him to start the counting period, the counting of the 7 days. They're called Yemei Sefura, the counting days, that enabled the Mitzora Muchlat to leave his Muchlat state and eventually achieve Tahara, purification, and that's on the eighth day after this period called Yemei Sefura. We know that a Mitzora Muchlat is a very high form of Tuma. He's so Tome that he's even able to communicate Tuma to a person. That's considered a severe form of tumah. Not all impure articles are capable of imparting tumah to people. That which is capable of doing that is considered a severe or a high form of tumah. That's as far as a mitzora muchlat is concerned.
the Gemara, or Rav Achduvuya, is turning to Rav Sheshes and asking him, from where do you know that the Mitzurah not only as a Muchlubat, but even in his Yemei Sfira, is able to Metama Odom? That's the question. Notice the triangles. The triangles will be flipping back and forth. On the outside of the margin, we've indicated Ma'akov, play by play. With the point up, those will be responses. With the point down, you'll find challenges or to questions on what was just said. So, Rav Sheshes responds, Omar lo, hoyu l'metame begodim, metame odem. We know that the Mitzurah b'mei Sfuro is metame clothing. The clothing that he wears has to be brought to a mikveh eventually. So since he has the power to metame begodim, he can metame odem. Omar lei. So Rav Duda says back, Dilma tuma v'chiburim shiny. Maybe the clothing that he's wearing, chiburim is attached. The clothing that he's wearing, that has a different status. And you can't draw conclusions from that to the ability to metama people. And there's precedent for what was just said. Daha hasit nevelo. Person who is responsible for moving a carcass of an animal. It's called a nevela. Nevela is metama. Person who is responsible for moving a nevela. The metame begodim. We know that a person who moved in a vela, he has to metire his begodim. The ain't metame odim, but the person who is masa in a vela, he doesn't metame people. So you can't bring proof to me like Rav Sheshes is trying to do that since his begodim by the mitzvah of the meisfuro, his begodim begam tami. That means he therefore is metame people. Not so. Here the masa in a vela has tumas begodim, and he's not metame people. Omalei. V'yela sheretz de metame odom minolon lav mishum de metame begodim. So Rav Sheshes says back, hey, when you're trying to push me off, what about sheretz? We know that a sheretz is metame people. The Torah lists eight types of shrotzim that convey tuma, and that they convey tuma isn't it because they are metame begodim. We know that Sheretz is metame begodim, and therefore metame people. Amalei Rav Achdavuye says back, What are you talking about? He says Sheretz ved yuksiv bei. It says O ish asher yiga b'chol sheretz. And you notice we have dot underlined the word ish. Why is that? Because it's beferish. It's explicit in the pasuk that the sheretz is metame the ish. No relationship. The fact that there's tumas begodim. Elo, so Rav Sheshes says back, Elo shichvazera de metame odom minolon, that shichvazera, male matter, is metame people, lav mishum tahoyul umetame begodim metame odom. He's trying to push his point here. Isn't shichvazera metame people because of its power to metame begodim? Omalei, Rav Achdavuye says back, what are you talking about? Shich baser anami behed yiksiv bei o ish. The rabos es hanogea. Not only the person from whom issues forth the zera, but someone who touches the zera as well is tomei. Nothing to do with, it doesn't say begodim. It says, again, beferish, it says the word ish. What do you see happening in this story? Rav Sheshes tries and tries and tries, and each time Rav Achdavuye sort of like he refers back in a very rapid, I would say, the Gemara feels, you'll see in an offhanded fashion. It says the feirush like this, it says the feirush like that. Ahadir lei b'vedichusa. Rav Achdavuye was responding to Rav Sheshes with a b'vedichusa, sort of lightheadedness, with the sort of a non-serious fashion. And Rashi explains, and the reason he was doing this because he saw that Rav Sheshes each time was failing in his attempt to respond. Cholash daiti de Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes had a feeling of chalishus hadas, feeling of disparagement, of embarrassment. And as a result of Rav Sheshes's feelings being hurt, ishtik Rav Achdavuye bar Ami v'yisakir Talmudei,
He lost his power of speech, and he forgot his learning. The Derech Eretz that is taught by the Gemara just refines our midos. I often say to people, learn a Daf Gemara, and you'll learn Musar at the same time. And that's not the Gemara's not trying to feature Musar over here, but you see it clearly in the discussion that not just that you have to be careful in how you respond to somebody. Do it with the proper respect. If not, it's actually a very dangerous game. Asyo ime. So there's a pronoun over here, and this pronoun is the subject of controversy amongst the Meforshim. So without getting involved with that, I'll simply say his mother came. His mother could refer to Rav Achdavuye's mother. She's suffered, or maybe Rav Sheshes' mother. The Kobachyo Kamei, she cried. Sovcha, and she screamed. Sovcha, velo ashkichbo, and he didn't respond. He didn't pay attention. She was crying and pleading for him to pray for the refuah shlema of Rav Achdavuye. He didn't respond. Omrole, so she said, Chozi lahani chadi demotzis minayu. She says, look at the breasts, at these breasts from which you suckled. She certainly shook him up. And this is the reason for his being called the one who was Meshagish Urchas Adime. He caused her to belittle herself, to disparage herself. In her pleas, he didn't listen initially, and he pushed her, so to speak, to the brink, where she had to use this in order to shake him up. Bo rachami ole v'itzi. Rav Sheshes prayed for Achdavuye, he got better, and that's as far as the answer to why he was called Ula the suckling, the Meshagesh Urchas Adime. Is concerned. However, the Gemara, in its ultimate curiosity, asks, "Da'atzon alam and olan." Since we brought up the topic of the person Yemes Furo, how do we know that he's metama person? Kedisanya, the source, as you can see, it's in a frame, Tanaic source, will reveal the answer to the original question. The original question, by the way, was dot underlined. A number of lines up, you can see the dashed underline. That's in order to not lose focus of what the question at hand was. And that was, and what do you notice there? Minayim mitzvah b'nisvur shemetama odo. The answer, Kedisanya Rav Shimon bar Yochai Omer, Ne'emar kibus begodim b'imei svuro. The Torah refers to purification of begodim in this period called Yemei Svuro, which we mentioned was after the Muchlat period, those seven counting days before the eighth day on which he brings his karbonos, v'nemar kibus begodim v'imei chaluto. And the Torah also references kibus begodim for a mitzora during his cholid period, during his serious cholid period, that's before the kohen paskins that he can now achieve tahara. Ma lahalan mitama odom, just like we know that a mitzora muchlak is mitama person, afkan, so too Mitama Odom. So too here, in the case of the Yemei Sfuro, he has the same capacity of being Mitama Odom. Turning back to the topic of Tzedakah, Omar Rebbe Lozor, Godol Ha'oseh Tzedakah B'Seser Yoser Mimoshe Rabbeinu. Di'ilu Moshe Rabbeinu K'siv Ki Yogorti Mipnei Ho'af V'Hachema. By Moshe Rabbeinu says, I was afraid of these two forces, negative forces, one called af, and the other called chema. Vilu boisit stokiksiv, matan beseser, yechape af v'shochad b'cheik chema azo. That a gift of tztoka given in secrecy, given in private, so as not to embarrass the receiver, that is something that yechape af, that defeats, quiets af, or defeats af. And likewise, chema. This approach that tzedakah defeats af and chema is at odds with Rav Yitzchok's approach. Upligud Rav Yitzchok, the Yom Rav Yitzchok, af kofeh, chema einoi kofeh.
that Tzedaka does defeat Af, that negative force, but not Chema. Shemar, v'shochad v'cheik, Chema Aza. And how does he explain that section of the Pasuk? Af al pi sheshochad v'cheik, even though the shochad, in this case, it generally means the bribery, but in this case it's the payment. The payment of Tzedaka is made, even though it's made. Chema Aza, Chema remains. The Chema remains. So that's different, this, the approach that Rebbe Elazar took, that Tzedaka defeats Af and Chema. Rav Yitzchak says that Tzedaka defeats Af, but not Chema. I want to make a point before we go too much further, that it was a rather perplexing idea that the one who performs Tzedaka B'Seser is greater than Moshe Rabbeinu. I mean, could that be? So the Tosfos addresses this issue. He says, Godel ho'isa Tzedaka B'Seser yoser mi Moshe Rabbeinu, pirush, yoser mishakech Chema, mi Moshe Rabbeinu b'tfilosoi. That Moshe Rabbeinu, as one who davened, as one who prayed, the prayers of Moshe Rabbeinu were not as strong as the koyach of Tzedaka B'Seser. Tosfos goes on, V'afagav de Moshe nami also Tzedaka B'Seser. You can assume that Moshe Rabbeinu also performed Tzedaka properly. Shema oisa shah kvar posak oisa schus. At this moment that the posak is that Moshe Rabbeinu says ki yogarti mitneo afa chema, that I was fearful of afan chema. It could be that it was at a point in time that the schuyos that he had achieved through the tzedakah that he performed had already ceased. It was relying only on the tefillah, so tefillah was not as strong as tzedakah would be. Continuing in the Gemara, we saw Rav Yitzchak double underlined with a Roman number 1. That was because the double underlining, because we have a series of Rav Yitzchak members, and you can see his name is featured here as you go down the Amid. The 1 and 2 is because there are two Lashonas on Rav Yitzchak, on the first comment of Rav Yitzchak. Iko diamri, om Rav Yitzchak, kol dayon shenoitel shochad mevi chemo azo li'oilo. Any judge who accepts bribery brings intense wrath on the world. Shnemar, the shochad b'cheik, and the v'chulei is the continuation is chemo aza. The Yom Rabbi Yisrael called Noisim Prutaloni Misborach b'sheish brachos v'hamefaye so v'dvorim Misborach b'yud aleph brachos. That one who gives money to an ani, he merits 6 blessings. One who is successful in appeasing him with words merits 11. As we go on in the Gemara, I just want to tell you to take note on the side of, or in the inside margin, we've written psukim that are necessary for understanding this Gemara. There will be a lot of details that the Gemara leaves out because the Gemara is relying on your looking at the psukim. So as far as numbering the zechuyos, that you'll have to do by looking at the pasuk on a later occasion. Gemara goes over these points. Hanosein prutaloni misborach v'sheish brachos dichtiv halo pros etc. v'chulei. The pasuk opens up with in Yeshaya perek nun ches pasuk zayin. It opens up with giving the pros the roi v'lachmacha, giving the tzedakah to the needy one. V'aniyim rudim tavi bayis. It's also v'chulei. It's also in the same sukkim. Ki sera orum, also there. All of these, this is the opening of the psukim, and it's written on the side of your Gemara. These are the giving of the tzedakah, v'chulei, etc. And then when you look at posuk ches and posuk tes, and you continue on in the psukim, you'll see all the blessings that were just referred to. Continuing. V'amafaiso b'dvarim isborach v'chasis rei brachos shenemar v'sofek lo ro'ev nafshecho. The word v'sofek lo ro'ev, Rashi explains, is being mafayis him with words of comfort. V'nefesh nano tasbia v'zorach b'choyshech orecho v'afeilosho kitzorayim v'nochacho Hashem tomid v'hispia b'tzachtzochois nafshecho v'chulei u'bonu mimcho charvois oilo mostei dor v'odor tekomeim. And as we've made reference in the past to find the literal translation of the pasuk, we recommend other sources for that purpose, but you can see that in addition to the 6 blessings mentioned before, there are additional blessings. You get up to 11 blessings for one who comforts the poor with words. V'omar Rabbi Yitzchak, my dichtiv, rodev tztoko v'chesed, yimso chayim tztoko v'chovod. If you translate the pasuk literally, and the Gemara makes that assumption initially, it turns out that if one pursues tztoka, he'll find tztoka, he'll find the need to receive tztoka. So the Gemara asks, Mishum the roidev tztoka, yimso tztoka. Because he pursues tztoka, he's going to need people to support him. Ella, not don't read it like that. Ella lomar loch kol roide fachar tztoka, Hakadosh Baruch Hu mamtzi lo mois voisa bohen tztoka. If you pursue the fulfillment of tztoka, Hakadosh Baruch Hu will give you more money to do more tztoka. Sometimes we refer to this as mitzvah gereres mitzvah. Number two. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mamtzi Lo B'nei Odom HaMehugonim La'asois Lohen Tzedaka Kedei Lekabil Aleihem Schar. That one who's Rodev Tzedaka will find people who are needy of Tzedaka, so that when you give them the Tzedaka, you will be thereby getting Schar of Mitzvah Tzedaka, as opposed to giving to people who are phonies. I think that there's a point here that has to be sharpened. How does this contrast with the Gemara before, that if you don't give tztoka, the goyim will come and take it from you, and even so, it's considered as if you get schar for the tztoka? Maybe there's a point of contrast between the goyim coming and taking from you, as opposed to your giving to someone who is an absolute faker. Maybe there is multiple deos on the topic, but it's something that has to be looked into further. For our purposes, the Gemara at hand is saying that one who pursues tzedaka will merit having worthy people to receive the tzedaka. La fuke mai, to the exclusion of what other scenario? La fuke mi de dorash rabo. De dorash rabo, mai dichtiv, posuk in Yirmiyo. Yirmiyo was a man who was pursued by evil Jews that were out to seek his removal, to put it mildly. And they threw him, eventually they threw him in a pit. Yirmiyo prays to God as follows. V'yu mukhshalim lefonecho b'yeis apcha asei bahen. Rashi, the end says, V'yu mukhshalim lefonecho es anshei anosois. Anosois is the name of a place. Hoye mekalel, shoye mevakshin nafshe. They're trying to kill him. So, referring to them, he issues this prayer. Gemara explains, Amar Yirmiyo, Tanakhosh Baruch Hu, Benishodam, Afilu Bishal Shekoifin Es Yitzron, Mevakshin Lasset Stoka Lefanecha. Even when these evil people sort of are misgaber on their Yetzer, they overcome their evil inclination, they want to do something good, Hachshilom Bifnei Odom Sheinim Uhuganim, cause them to stumble upon people that are not worthy, Kedei Shelo Yekablu Aleihem Schar, so that as they should not receive any schar. You see from here, the giving tztoka to those who are not worthy is a big mistake. There's a lot more to say on this topic. There's a parallel Gemara in Ksubis, if I'm not mistaken, in the vicinity of Daf Samachetz, where the Gemara says we have to thank the one above for the phonies out there, which enables us to vindicate ourselves on the occasions that we don't give tztoka. There's also a Gemara at the end of the first parak of Bava Kama, if I'm not mistaken, deals with this topic as well. At this point, we will conclude our shiur for today.